And if that bothers you, well, that's too bad. But if you got pride and you're proud to do, hey, we could use some more like me and you. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. Yes, there's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we believe. Bell that still echoes the price that it costs to be free. No, it ain't the only place on earth, but it's the only place that I prefer to love my wife and raise my kids. Hey, the same way that my daddy did. With stars and stripes and the eagles fly. Where the stars and stripes and the eagles
And it's time for the Shooting Bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
Well, here I am, just come sliding into home base again. It's the 13th of February. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. And you know what else is the 13th of February? This is Amy's birthday, just to let everybody know. And that's why I come sliding in. Let me turn this down a little bit. Might make it a little bit clearer. How's that? Just come sliding in. We went into town and went to dinner and went and got her a Big Mac and so anyway, that's why I'm sliding in here quick as we can. All right, let me go check and see. I think I already established that we have sound, so that's good. Let me see who all is in here. Let's see here. Bill 970. Who in the world is Bill 970? Whoever you are, Bill 970, and glad you chose to spend a little time with us. Hopefully you find some things you like and come back and visit. Goat Moog, haven't seen you for a while. Good to see you. AZ Bound and Detinker and Doc and Minnie and Mountain Shooter and Nan and NM Glock. We got all kinds of Glocks here. Yakima Glock and T-Bow. Let me turn this stupid thing off here. It's making noise. Let's see. There we go. Thank you very much. All right. Let's move on. Yeah, that's right, Mountain Shooter 29 and holding. That's exactly right. She's almost catch up with me. I guess first what I ought to do is, and I didn't know this, it happened a couple of weeks ago, but many of you may remember Bear Bryant. Bear Bryant was a decorated Vietnam veteran, Green Beret, died at 75 years old on the 31st of January. Evidently, he had a few little problems when he was getting out of school there, and his mom took him down to the recruiting office when he graduated and said, pick one. So he picked the Army and later was accepted into airborne school, and a little while after that, he was earned his Green Beret. And he, three tours of Vietnam. He was married for 42 years to his wife, Beverly, still alive at 76. She said in that length of time, he never once spoke of his time in Vietnam. That's saying something right there. After, he retired from the Army in 1983, he moved to Palestine. And there he worked as a corrections officer for 20 years, as a reserve officer for the Palestine Police Department. So, anyway, there you go. Bear Bryant, dead at 75. All right, let's move on here. This was a kind of a disturbing thing, if I can get it. There you go. You know, the economy's good. Everybody agrees that the economy is better now than it has been for a long, long time. But even with that, right now there's a record number of people that are at least 90 days behind on their car payments. And so the reason this is significant, I guess, to me, and this is just my own thoughts, I'm wondering if with social media, and this may be way out there, okay, but with the economy doing so well and so many jobs and everything, why are there 7 million Americans that are at least 90 days behind on their car payments? If they're behind on their car payments, You've got to believe that there's at least some of those are also behind on house payments, or all of them. Now, these are ones that are at least 90 days. That doesn't say how many is 30 and 60 days behind. So, what brought all that about? Could that be that they're not? If the economy is not that bad, which it's not, could it be that they're less responsible? That they're not doing what they ought to be doing? That they're spending more time on social media or playing games or whatever when they ought to be doing other things? Can't pull themselves away from their phone or computer. Maybe not making it to work on time, maybe not spending as much time at work as they should, maybe wasting some of it, I don't know. But it seems kind of odd that the economy is doing so well, and a record number, even more than in 2010 after we had our financial crisis then, and it says that the number of distressed borrowers suggests that not all Americans have benefited from the strong labor market and warrants continuing monitoring and analysis of this sector. That federal economist of some kind said that. That's one person's opinion. I just gave you mine. If the job market and everything is that strong and everything's doing so well, I don't think it's a matter of whether or not these Americans are not benefiting from the strong labor market and all that. I think there's something else behind there. And I can't help but think that some of it may be due to irresponsibility, whether it's, you know, social media or other things. I don't know. Something for you to think about anyway. Let's see. Yeah, AZ bound. I think you're probably right. You know, I'm driving a brand new 2019 Dodge Ram right now. I'm just driving it. I don't own it. I wish I did. Man, that's a neat truck. But somebody slid into my truck and squished it on the ice the other day, so it's in the body shop trying to get a left rear quarter panel replaced. And their insurance company rented me a truck, and so I could keep working and everything. And this truck is remarkable. Man, it's nice. Nan, you know, you're probably right there about people can't stop spending and want more and more. That's probably, I think that goes hand in hand with what I was talking about there. And that's in addition to it there. And as people became, this is a time people are, how should I phrase this? They're into, instant gratification like never before. When there was a time when we, saved up a little money and bought something, made payments or saved up some money and paid cash for it, we could wait for a month or 2 months or 6 months or a year. Now when you see it, you gotta have it. And people are spending money on things. People like to say they're frugal sometimes when they're not. And they're blowing money on things that they shouldn't be. That are not, necessary for everyday life. And that's, I think that's all going to come to a screeching halt here before long. And it's going to cause a lot of people a lot of grief. And everybody, whether or not you're one of them or not, everybody is going to realize this. It's going to affect every person on this planet. Yakima Glock, you're probably the smartest one of all of us there. Never had a car loan, never had a new car. I've only had, I think I've had maybe three. One, two, three. I think I've had at least three new ones. And probably shouldn't have done that either. All right, let's move on here. When was it? Monday. We talked about the 300,000 cows dying in Australia from the floods after a long, long, devastating drought. All the cows were killed in floods. Well, up in Washington in the Pacific Northwest, different areas, particularly around the Yakima area, about 1,600 dairy cows are dead. Probably more coming. This is a couple of days old, and the weather's still not cleared off up there. They've had cold, cold weather, lots of snow, 80-mile-an-hour wind gusts in areas. And according to the Yakima Valley Dairy Farmers Association, 1,600 cows have died. This has put put these farmers in a terrible bind here. They're spending money on straw, putting extra bedding in there. They're stacking straw up along the fences, bales of straw, to try to shield the cows from the wind. And, the milk truck drivers are out there trying to brave the slick roads and stuff, trying to deliver milk, keep the farmers going. And this has got to be one farmer said, he said, this is the worst few days of my life. He said, we're just devastated. I don't think we've ever been hit with weather like this. So I've been watching the news up there, and it's, what is it, Snoqualmie Pass, 58 inches of snow in just a day or two, and still closed. Lots of roads closed up there. It's quite a mess. So, there's been, and I don't want to say, unnecessary, any unnecessary panic here. But when you look at all the things that are happening right now, and this is not the first time disaster like this has struck. In 1966, 67, somewhere in there, I can remember when, and I've talked about it on the show, when they, the National Guard and lots of local people and all helped with the, took hay and waters. I don't know if they took water, it could melt snow, I guess, but took hay out on the Navajo Reservation and the Hopi Reservation to try to save the cows out there. Horrible, horrible snowstorms. Right here in Sholo, we had, 7 or 8 feet in areas, and this happened in just a day or two. I can, there's some people that we know in Sholo said they woke up and it was pitch black and deathly quiet in their house. And they couldn't see out of any window, open the door, at least the doors that opened to the inside, and snow was up over the eaves of their houses. And, so this is not the first time this has happened. And you know, we can't go holler and the sky has fallen and hey, it's the end of the world because there's big snowstorms up there. But if you look at the overall picture here of what's going on in Australia and what's going on in Venezuela and what's going on in the Pacific Northwest and quite a number of things going on around the world. And add that to the, all the people with the behind on their car payments and everything. It's not looking good. There's a lot of stuff going on. We'll find out. They've still got some winter to go. We haven't hit our, we're supposed to have about 22, 24 hours straight of rain now after all the snow that we got. It's going to rain and flood and we'll see what happens. Rain's supposed to start tomorrow. So we'll see what happens. Let's see what's going on in the chat room here. Hey, Dan, that's great. Never had a new car either. Two payments away from being debt-free. Awesome. Oh, Dave Ramsey would be proud of you. Yakima Glock, why were you out driving in that anyway? Obviously, you had something important to go do there. You wouldn't be out in that stuff. For those of you not on the chat room, Yakima Glock said he ventured out into the weather and slid his truck into a chain link fence. Speaking of that, when I was, we were driving trucks hauling stuff, equipment from Ohio back to Georgia, and we were just south of Chattanooga, Tennessee, and the truck in front of me was hauling, there was a small dozer and a backhoe on the trailer. And I was behind him and I something didn't look right. It was, they talk about things being surreal where it's not normal. Doesn't look like it's supposed to be happening. And it took me a minute to realize that the trailer in front of me had come unhooked from the truck that was pulling it. The kingpin broke. And the first and only time I've ever seen that happen. And the trailer, sparks were flying. I mean, it was like this monstrous grinder on the highway, just throwing sparks everywhere. And this trailer separated from the truck, slid over to the right, and come to a halt right against a chain link fence. Didn't hurt it a bit. It pushed it in about as much as as a grown man could take one hand and push the chain link fence in. That's about as far as it went. So that was, that's what reminded me of that when you said that, Yakima Glock. All right, let me see here. Let me get some things ready here. We're going to take a break here in just a minute. And I wasn't prepared. Like I said, I come sliding in here, sliding into home base when I was, should have been here getting ready. But we had fun. Come on. Oh, please. All right, well, let's just do this here. This will be okay. All right, well, I'm going to do this, and
I'll be back.
One day shy of 8 years old, Grandma passed away. I was a broken-hearted little boy, blowing out that birthday cake. How I cried when the sky let go with a cold and lonesome rain. Mama smiled, said, "Don't be sad, child. Grandma's watching you today. 'Cause there's holes in the floor of heaven, and her tears are pouring down. That's how you know she's watching, wishing she could be here now. And sometimes if you're lonely, just remember she can see. There's holes in the floor of heaven, and she's watching over you and me. Seasons come and seasons go, nothing stays the same. I grew up, fell in love, met a girl who took my name. Year by year, we made a life in this sleepy little town. I thought we'd grow old together. Lord, I sure do miss her now. But there's holes in the floor of heaven, and her tears are pouring down. That's how I know she's watching, wishing she could be here now. Sometimes when I'm lonely, I remember she can see. There's holes in the floor of heaven, and she's watching over you and me. Well, my little girl is 23. Walk her down the aisle. It's a shame her mom can't be here now to see her lovely smile. They throw the rice, I catch her eye as the rain starts coming down. She takes my hand, says, "Daddy, don't be sad. 'Cause I know mama's watching now. And there's holes in the floor of heaven, and her tears are pouring down. That's how you know she's watching, wishing she could be here now. And sometimes when I'm lonely, remember she can see. Yes, there's holes in the floor of heaven, and she's watching over you and me. Watching over you and me. Watching over you. Watching over you and me.
unorthodox freedom files.
Freedom. Keep walking, keep on your toes, and don't stop talking about freedom.
The law, in its majestic equality, forbids the rich and the poor alike to sleep under bridges, to beg in the streets, and to steal bread. Anatole France wrote those words across a century and an ocean, yet they seem to perfectly describe the current state of America. The BBC recently aired a program, What It Means to be Poor in America, which generated a lot of internet buzz. The program illustrated what most of us have seen in recent years: tent cities, people living in the storm drains of Las Vegas, and increasing hunger amongst larger numbers of our fellow citizens. Yet no one on the program, including the token conservative spokesman, seemed to understand that one of our largest poverty problems is limited freedom and unlimited government. Yes, there is poverty, and always has been, but it is government that needlessly and expensively compounds those problems. At every step of the way, there is some government agency impeding the lives of the poor. Yes, I know, there are countless .gov aid programs out there, but between admin, staffing, private contracts, and regulatory requirements, these always seem to benefit the tax feeders disproportionately more than the poor. Do you want, or need, to live in a car, teepee, tent, or simple shelter? Try doing that legally in virtually any place in America, even if you own the land. You can't. You don't have the freedom to do it. While you may get away with it for a while and fly under the radar, you will at any time be subject to police raids, code enforcement actions, and of course the ever-present CPS, ready to take your kids. A traditional American method for widows to support themselves was to operate a boarding house. She had the freedom to let a few bedrooms in her house and prepare one or more basic meals daily. Try getting away with that legally in today's America. By the time the poor gal complied with the code and fire requirements, permitting tax and health department regulations, she'd be worse off than had she never opened her doors. Needless to say, potential boarders, to include the poor and homeless families, are denied the contractual freedom to choose this form of relatively safe and inexpensive accommodation. The pension is a traditional low-cost housing option in many parts of the world, including Europe. I've lived in a couple of them for extended periods. They were clean, cozy, efficient, and inexpensive. But, and there's always a but, they would never fly in most parts of America. They had smallish individual rooms and communal bathrooms on each floor for residents to share. The places were spotlessly clean, but would never meet many U.S. code requirements. I could go on at very great length, but the bottom line is that government, which with its left hand pretends to champion the plight of the poor, uses its right hand to make conditions of poverty immeasurably worse than they need to be. And this is done, to a greater degree than most suspect at first glance, by limiting freedom. So, to the police officers, code inspectors, bureaucrats, and everyday Americans who may deal with the poor and homeless, I'll share the words of the Dalai Lama. If you can't help them, please don't hurt them. And close with the words of Jesus. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, we're back. Let me get back over here to my list of little stories we were doing here. You know, all over the country, we have very serious gun control stuff coming up. And I want to encourage all of you. You know, we've got H.R. 8, which is a federal law that's being introduced right now. I don't think it's going to fly this time. It might surprise me. We might do it. Or they might do it. But whether or not we think it's going to pass,
I would encourage everyone. Well, this is a what do they call it? A universal background check law where, you know, you can't. It's kind of like I-594 in Washington, and you know, we've got this I-1639, and also in Washington. But this and New Mexico is passing some draconian type gun laws. So I want to encourage all of you, everyone here, well, not everyone, but most of you have either Facebook page, blogs, email lists, whatever. You've got ways that you communicate with multiple people. And I would like to encourage you strongly to get on your Facebook pages and get on these other means that you have of contacting people and encourage those people to do the same thing. And all of you write to your, write, call, email, all of the above to your Congress critters and tell them strongly in no uncertain terms, but professionally and politely, it's not going to do a bit of good to get on there and chew their ass out and be ugly with them. It's as much as we'd like to, it's not going to help. It's just going to make things worse. So, over and over and over and over until this thing is either passes or dies, and get this message out. Encourage all your friends to do the same. When they say, well, it's not going to help any, what I can absolutely guarantee, they say the same thing about voting. Well, it doesn't help. You know, your vote doesn't count. I can absolutely guarantee you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that if you don't do anything, it's not going to help either. It may not help, but I can promise you it's not going to hurt. And everybody says, well, I'll be there when the poop hits the fan. You count on me. I'll be there with all my gear and all my bullets and band-aids and everything and ready to go. If you don't do this right now, you are lying through your teeth. You are not going to help me do anything when the bullets are flying if you can't do it now when the bullets are not flying. And if you can't get out there and spend a little bit of time, a little bit of money for postage, which is going up, by the way, or just went up again, phone calls, emails, text, Facebook. And we need to make as much noise and be as in your face as the left is, or we're going to deserve exactly what we get. Keyboard Hero, that's right, Tebow. And Tebow, brother, I am so proud of you for everything that you're doing out there in Florida. We need you back here in New Mexico, but as long as you're not going to come home, well, at least you're doing wonderful things out there where you're at. Tebow has really led the charge out there, or been a good part of the charge. I don't know if he led everything or not, but he's top notch when it comes to doing this kind of stuff. So I encourage all of you to, you know, take the, you know, do what Tebow's doing and get out there and try to make a difference. If we can't do it now, we're going to be doing it the hard way later. They're attacking us, vigorously from every side. And here we sit just saying, well, the Constitution will protect us, or Trump will veto it, or he might, you know, he probably will. I don't know that for a fact. He may or may not. But whatever the case may be, we can't just sit here on our hands and expect everybody else to do everything for us. Because you can see what that has gotten us so many other times. You know, the left has gone out there and risked going to jail, and a lot of them have gone to jail. Some of them have been hurt, standing up for what they believe, as wrong as it is, they think it's right. And they're really putting their money and their mouth and their time. Of course, they got lots of time because they ain't working. And I know that's a problem for us. Because a lot of us, when we need to be going to, when there's rallies and protests and stuff like that and town council meetings and whatever that we should be going to, sometimes it's hard for us to sneak away and do that when we have jobs to go to. Hang on a minute. There's about to be an automatic update here, and again, kill me if I don't do something about it. I hate these things. I need to go in there and shut them off. Let's see. Let me schedule this here. All right, this will work. All right, that ought to do it. Hopefully this will work and we won't have to be interrupted here. All right, let's get back to what we were doing here. So, you know, write your letters, and for those of you that are gifted enough to make good sounding, articulate, good letters, share those letters with other people. Have them, you know, if they want to put different names in there. So make it easy for them. For those of you that have time to spend the time and write good letters and stuff, send them out to other people. Say, here, use this in its entirety if you want. Use part of it or whatever. And try to get people to jump on board here. Because I tell you, every damn place in the country, they're working as hard. They're working us awful hard. So, get out there and do something with it. Another good thing here in Florida, and Tebow probably knows about this, I don't know. The Manatee School for the Arts in Palmetto, Florida. They just hired two combat veterans in body armor with AR-15, well, it's not an AR-15, it's something similar. I'm not sure what it is there. Anyway, it's a semi-automatic rifle with 17-inch barrel and 9mm Glocks, and they're walking the halls. If an armed intruder were to enter this campus, he says, we're not looking for a fair fight. We're looking for an overwhelming advantage. God bless these people. My goodness. They really stepped forward there and said, this is not going to happen again. Legislation passed after the Parkland massacre last year requires schools in Florida to have at least one safe school officer. Well, Manatee School for the Arts has stepped up just a little bit more than that and chose to hire guards carrying rifles. Manatee County Sheriff's Department trained the guards, and whether they armed them or not, I'm not sure, but you know, he said it's just a much more effective weapon than the handgun is. You know, and you have to figure if some of these guys, some of these school shootings and stuff are now involving rifles. And while it's not impossible that somebody that's good with a handgun can solve a problem against someone with a rifle, it is makes more sense to have a little more fairly matched. So I'm... This is a neat deal. Now, this guy says he's not aware of any school guards in the United States who openly carry long guns, though it's not unusual in some areas overseas. Yeah, there's a lot of places overseas, Israel in particular. What do you say? It's not something we typically advise our clients to do. for a variety of reasons. In part because someone might knock out the officer and take the weapon. It's more difficult to subdue and handcuff an assailant while carrying a long gun. You know, whoever's saying this, excuse me, this is Michael Dorn, the executive director of Safe Havens International, which has performed security assessments at dozens of public school systems throughout Florida, including three of the state's largest school districts. And although he says he's not aware of any other schools doing this, he says it's not something we typically advise for a variety of reasons. Okay, I think these guys are liability scared, in part because someone might knock out the officer and take the weapon. Well, they might knock out the officer and take the weapon if he's carrying a handgun. But if these officers are trained, these are combat veterans. These are not just some rent-a-cop they pulled off the street to do that. I truly expect that they will, that they'll take the necessary precautions to prevent themselves from being knocked out and their weapon taken. I think that was a dumb statement, to tell you the truth. And what else did he say here? He said it's more difficult to subdue and handcuff an assailant while carrying a long gun. Actually, no, it's not. It makes no difference at all. That's what they make slings for. I mean, that was, those are two dumb statements for this guy supposing to be a performing security assessments. He may be performing security assessments, but he don't know a damn thing about carrying guns performing certain operations whilst carrying those guns. So, I don't agree, just in case you wondered. Manatee School is adding a guard shack to his entrance and will raise its perimeter fencing by 2 feet. These people are taking this very, very seriously, as they should. It's a shame we have one school in the country doing this. But others are taking other steps, I guess. But I really like what these guys are doing. Let's see, guardians are required to complete at least 132 hours of firearm safety and proficiency training. I'll say that's a pretty good step up there. There's a lot of these places are requiring their teachers to take, you know, 8 hours, 16 hours, whatever it is. I think I saw one that was taking 40 hours, which is not bad. Manatee School for the Arts hired one guardian with 15 years of infantry experience who has now been on campus for a couple of months. A second guardian, also a combat veteran, is finishing his training and will begin working this month. 132 hours of firearms training. Said the school hired combat veterans because he wanted guards who wouldn't hesitate to go after the gunman. Bravo. Very good. I don't want this to be the first time they've had someone shooting at them. Okay, nice. I like that. Let's see here. What's going on in the chat room here? All right. What else we got? Let's go to, I couldn't help but bring this one on here. Ordinarily, I don't spend much time talking about stuff like this. But this was kind of interesting. In USA Today, there's a guy that, he's a guy again, I guess. He says, I was a transgender woman for 8 years, and that's time that I can't get back. Said, I started my transgender journey as a 4-year-old boy when my grandmother repeatedly over several years cross-dressed me in a full-length purple dress she made especially for me and told me how pretty I was as a girl. That grandmother ought to be horsewhipped. This planted the seed of gender confusion and led to my transitioning at age 42 to a transgender female. I lived as Laura for 8 years. But as I know now, transitioning doesn't fix the underlying ailments.
Studies show that most people who want to live as the opposite sex have other psychological issues such as depression or anxiety. In my case, I was diagnosed at age 40 with gender dysphoria and at age 50 with psychological issues due to childhood trauma. Eventually, my parents found out and my unsupervised visits to Grandma's house ended. I thought my secret was safe, but my teenage uncle heard about it and felt I was fair game for taunting and sexual abuse. I wasn't even 10 years old. If not for the purple dress, I believe I would not have been abused by my uncle. So, you know, I suppose things happen that causes people to go this way, apparently. But anyway, he said, by the time I was 40, I couldn't take the pressure of living two separate lives. I felt torn apart, wanting to be a good husband and father, but in severe torment about needing to be a woman. You know, somehow I just can't fathom this. I can't really wrap my mind around this. I sought two top gender specialists at the time. He diagnosed me with gender identity disorder and recommended cross-sex hormones. What the hell is that? And sex change genital surgery. This doctor wasn't helping. He told me that the childhood events were not related to my current gender distress, and his sex change was the only solution. I started taking female hormones and scheduled the surgery in April of 83 in Trinidad, Colorado at the age of 42. My marriage ended shortly before surgery. In addition to the genital reconfiguration, I had breast implants and other feminizing procedures and changed my birth certificate to Laura Jensen. Wow. Well, farther on down here, he decided that was not the thing to do. And apparently he met a woman that said they didn't care about the changes to my body, but they've been married 21 years now. And it's hard for me to wrap my mind around stuff like that. Anyway. All right, for those of you in Arizona, AZ bound, boy, you know, I'd rather have something in a pastel. Purple's not going to cut it. Anyway, we've got another multi-state concealed weapons class coming up here. We're having a little bit of trouble getting our stuff going in Colorado, thanks to the NRA, but they're moving along, I guess. As soon as that gets carved in stone there, we will make all the necessary announcements and changes on the website and everything, and hopefully that's going to happen here in a very short period of time. So, all right, it's time to start easing towards the door here. I have nothing planned, I think, that's going to keep us from doing Liberty Lounge this Friday. So, be ready for that. Let me find out. There it is. Not sure what the theme's going to be this week. You know, we got quite a bit of compliments, quite a few compliments on our show last Friday, and we only got about half done with that. I may do that again and get that out of the way, or we might take a break from that and do some classic country and then bounce back over to that 50s and 60s rock again. I'll flip a coin. I will take some, text, emails under consideration, see what y'all want to do. And, if it comes down to a tie, well, I'll flip a coin and we'll do whatever the coin says. All right. I'm babbling again, so I'm going to get on out of here. We'll see you guys Friday night. Appreciate you joining me.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.